Hello and welcome to The Cryptid Catalog, a podcast for monster lovers young and old. Before we jump in, I want to mention some of the themes in today's story. Cryptid Catalog tries to cover stories in a kid-friendly manner, but every listener has different thresholds. So to make sure this story is suitable for your listeners, here are some things that you can expect to hear in today's story. Today's show contains nuclear war, giant monsters, and a SpongeBob SquarePants reference. If all that sounds intriguing, then sit back, get a little cozy, and come with us as we open up the Cryptid Catalog. Killian, picture this. You're strolling down a boardwalk in Japan. The Pacific Ocean stretches out in front of you for what looks like an eternity. The calm is suddenly shattered by the tsunami sirens bursting to life. People's phones begin to buzz with the emergency alert. The earth shifts beneath your feet as an earthquake rumbles all around you. People start screaming, shouting, and pointing towards the ocean. You turn to look, your mouth agape at the sight of a mountain range rising out of the water. But wait, those are no mountains. No. They're spikes connected to a massive, scaly back. Killian, what is this creature?
I don't know.
You don't know? It is...
Yeah, I don't know, creature.
No, it is Godzilla! So let's open up the Cryptid Catalog and find out more. Welcome to the Cryptid Catalog, everyone. Thank you so much for listening today. We want to start things off by giving a kaiju-sized thank you to our friend Neil for suggesting Godzilla. Thank you, Neil. You want to say thank you?
Wait, it says thanks, Neil.
Oh, don't read the script, Killian.
It says thanks,
no,
Neil.
No, you are not scripted. Only mommy is scripted. No, go ahead. Say thank you to Neil.
Thank you, Neil.
Thank you, Neil. So, Killian, what do you know about Godzilla?
He is the king of kaijus.
Is he the king of kaijus? Okay.
And the queen of kaijus is actually Mothra.
Is he right?
Yeah, he's right.
Oh, mommy has only ever seen, like, two King Kong movies. So, mommy is not... This is all new to me.
Mothra is amazing.
Well, I know what Mothra looks like. Oh, they're amazing?
Yeah, everybody's saying that Mothra's their number one.
Oh, Daddy is making a face that tells us that Mothra is maybe not.
No, he's right.
Oh.
Just, we're going to have a story later.
Oh, okay.
Mothra!
Daddy's giving us Mothra. Weird cues.
Mothra.
Okay.
Mothra.
Okay. Well, that is all very good because I don't know anything. So this is all new to me. To recap, Godzilla is a fictional monster from Japan. So that means that they are not real. Godzilla is literally a movie monster from the 1954 Japanese film. Hold on. Let's wait. Let's see if you can guess what the movie title is.
Godzilla.
Correct.
Godzilla.
All right. All right. We have to get the reins back in, Killian.
We have to move on.
Oh, yes, thank you.
We need to move on.
So, yes, you were right. The movie is called Godzilla. Godzilla was sort of the first larger-than-life monster in the Japanese film series of kaiju movies. I know the answer to this because I heard it from you. Do you know, have you heard of a kaiju before?
Yes.
Yes. The other day, Killian was telling me about so-and-so kaijus, and I was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. And then I got home, I said, Dylan, is kaiju from an anime, like Demon Slayer, which is what Killian watches? And he goes, no, it's Godzilla. And I was like, oh, whoops. So you already know more than me, is my point. A kaiju is literally just a massive monster. So King Kong, Mothra, like you were saying, Ghidorah, and more.
Geo.
No, it just says Ghidorah.
Scruff.
Now back to Godzilla. Godzilla is said to be some sort of giant prehistoric reptilian monster that was either awoken or empowered by nuclear blasts that throttled the Pacific Ocean in the 1940s and early 50s. Godzilla kind of looks like an upright walking Komodo dragon with dark scales and piercing eyes, but the most important thing to remember about Godzilla is that he is very, very, very deadly. Godzilla is known as the king of the monsters, so you were correct earlier. He is taller than a skyscraper, unbelievably strong, and has incredible superpowers.
He's stronger than Popeye.
Most notably, Godzilla has Atomic Breath Attack, where he fires a blue beam of nuclear energy out from his mouth, yes, and he shoots it at his opponents.
I was going to say.
Godzilla is amphibious. Do you know what that means?
That he is in the reptilian family.
Well, reptiles and amphibians are not the same thing. Mm-hmm. But to be amphibious mostly just means that you can breathe underwater and breathe air. So like a frog. So like a frog can be on the land or he can go swim underwater.
Frogs can barely stay alive out of the water.
Depends on the type of frog.
Frogs can live for a very long time.
Well, but like, look, you have frogs in your classroom that literally never go underwater. They just kind of sit in it.
Yeah, they just sit in it to poop.
No, okay. We're getting really off track. Okay.
Yeah.
In some variations, Godzilla has an electrified bite attack. He can withstand gunfire, he can spit fireballs, and he even has laser eyes.
Pew, pew, pew.
He's got it all. They even have a very distinctive roar. In the Godzilla comic books, it's written as Shriek.
Screeonk.
Well, how would you say that? Look at it.
Screeonk.
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 Daddy literally put this here to make us make this noise.
Screeonk. Screeonk.
Oh, okay. Okay. Godzilla is often shown bursting out of the ocean to destroy a city, devour a nuclear power plant, or to get some more energy, or even fight other kaiju-sized monsters. Godzilla is very territorial and wants to make sure that he is the biggest, baddest monster out there.
Tourists.
No, tourists are not. I thought you said Taurus. Like, it was like, that's Taurus energy. No, Taurus, they're not his enemy. They just kind of are caught in the crossfire.
But territorial kind of means like Taurus.
Okay, wait, that's a good point.
Yeah.
They're encroaching on his territory by existing?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So do you know where the idea for Godzilla came from? Well, okay, use a shrug of her shoulder. Okay, so it's actually pretty neat, and it gives us a chance to talk about one of everyone's favorite topics. Nuclear weapons and their cultural impact on East Asia and the Pacific Islands in the late 1940s and beyond. In this essay, I intend to introduce a correlation between
Mario Kart.
No, I think Daddy has gone a little bit off topic on this script. But we are going to talk about something.
The swords of the weapons of Poseidon of all the land of every single kaiju in the sea.
Yeah. We are going to talk about something that you do need to know about that maybe some of the older kids might have learned about, but some of the younger kids might
Poseidon,
not have.
Do we have to learn about Poseidon? I already know all about him.
No, you know all about Poseidon. I really don't think you do.
I do. I actually do. Poseidon.
Okay. Go ahead.
Poseidon, he was the father of the sea witch and King Triton. That's what they said in the video.
Yeah, we'll talk about Greek gods another time. We are going to talk about something that we do need to know about to understand kind of where Godzilla came from. I'm just not going to do it in a Chicago-style essay format.
Yeah. But I like doing the ad voice where, like...
The voice that I did, you liked that?
Where I talk very fast, like, the women of under the sea are all greeted by Poseidon.
Okay. So, during World War II, there was this massive scientific battle called the Race for the Atomic Bomb. Scientists from all over the world were working to develop nuclear weapons to use against the opposing sides of the war. American scientists developed the first usable atomic bomb and did nuclear testing in the middle of the Pacific Ocean near an island called Bikini Atoll. At the end of World War II, America dropped a nuclear bomb on the Japanese city of Hiroshima and destroyed it in a frightening and devastating show of force. Because of this, some people see Godzilla, who is full of nuclear energy, as a fictional metaphor for Japan's fear of the nuclear weapons. We know that nuclear radiation can change the DNA of animals and humans. It can give humans and animals multiple eyes and arms and even create a giant version of animals, but more often than not...
He's mostly a gyro.
Okay. But more often than not, nuclear radiation is just very deadly in general. Godzilla is believed to be a nuclear-powered creature brought about by all of the bomb testing at Bikini Atoll. One more thing about Bikini Atoll.
Wait, is this the part about, is this the tip about SpongeBob SquarePants?
Yes, good job, yes.
Yeah, because there is a Bikini Bash.
Killian has never seen SpongeBob, much to his own dismay. But they live, SpongeBob and all of them live in Bikini, hold on, I'm going to get to it, just hold on. Bikini Atoll is literally the island that is above Bikini Bottom, which is where SpongeBob SquarePants lives. So the little island with the three palm trees is where the U.S. did all of their bomb testing.
Who lives in a pile of under the sea?
SpongeBob SquarePants.
A squirrely yellow is the forest of sea.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
SpongeBob SquarePants. SpongeBob.
That's all he knows. I love it.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
All right. That was actually pretty good. All right, hold on. Keep it together. So that's why all of the people living in Bikini Bottom dress like they're in the 50s, and why the fish and creatures all act like humans. SpongeBob and Godzilla possibly came from the same town. Yay. Isn't that crazy? Isn't there an episode of SpongeBob where there's like a...
King Kong type situation? I'm probably going to make a short of just Godzilla and
You don't have to yell.
And SpongeBob just dancing with bikinis on.
All right, so let's talk about some other kaijus. You ready?
Oh, yeah.
King Kong.
Boom.
Oh, you said boo. I thought you were making a little chime.
I said boom.
Boom. The hand motion was hilarious. The King Kong character was created by an American filmmaker, Maren C. Cooper. In the original film, the character's name is just Kong, a name given to him by the inhabitants of the fictional Skull Island in the Indian Ocean, where Kong lives along with other oversized dinosaurs. King Kong is an interesting kaiju because he is the only American one. In the 60s, the Japanese movie studio Toho, or T-A-O-H-O, just Toho.
Cool.
Licensed King Kong to appear in a movie where Godzilla fights King Kong.
If you want to watch this movie, turn off the podcast right now and watch it.
Okay. You've never seen it.
I have, actually.
King Ghidorah is an armless, bipedal, golden and yellowish scaled dragon with three heads, two fan-shaped wings, and two tails.
That's like the guy. That's like the monster that Hercules fought.
A little bit, the Hydra, yeah.
Yeah.
Its origin story has varied from being an extraterrestrial planet-destroying dragon, a genetically engineered monster from the future, a guardian monster of ancient Japan, or even a god from another dimension. The character is usually portrayed as an arch enemy of Godzilla and a foe of Mothra, who shoots lightning bolts out of each of its mouths. There are so many kaijus that we can't possibly fit them all in one episode. So if it's okay with your grown-ups, please feel free to dive into the wild and strange world of Japanese movie monsters. So, Killian, one more thing before we dive into a little monster fighting story. Do you think Godzilla is a good guy or a bad guy? What do you think?
A bad guy, because I've seen clips of the black and white movie of Godzilla, and he was destroying the town. Mm-hmm. Not just because people were, like, trying to, like sniffing up, they're like trying to ruin the environment, and that stopped Godzilla's habitat. Like, dude,
I don't know that.
Stop
that's the
it!
Story.
I need to destroy your world because you destroyed mine.
I don't. You know what? That was some Captain Planet spin on the. I don't know if that's the story of Godzilla, the environmentalism.
No, that's what he was thinking.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I gotcha. Oh, you were coming up with a. Motivation for Godzilla.
Motivation.
What was his motivation? I like it. It's very, very Captain Planet of you.
Yeah, he was just saying in his mind, dude, stop.
Stop destroying my habitat. I get it, man.
Or else right. Destroy your habitat. And then, guess what? Then they kept doing it until Godzilla had enough. And I was like, right. I'm going to destroy your world.
But does that not then make man the villain?
Oh.
Yeah. Because if they're destroying his environment.
Well, they're kind of.
Don't the people deserve it?
Yeah, but...
I'm just saying.
Yeah, but, like, he's a bad guy and a good guy.
Right, okay, so you think he's a morally gray character.
Yeah, like, Puss in Boots. You don't know how to understand him.
Puss in Boots is morally gray, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, because he steals stuff and he's a good guy.
Yeah, you know what? I love it. Okay, so yes, all of that was very good. So you're saying that Godzilla straddles the line of good and evil. Okay.
Yeah, he's in the middle.
So in all the stories, Godzilla is usually been an anti-hero. Godzilla is usually shown as a force of nature who maintains balance in the natural order by fighting and killing other big monsters that come and try to try and be the new dominant monster. But Godzilla can't have that. So you weren't wrong. That's pretty much what you said. He's a little bit good, a little bit bad.
Yeah.
All right, so are you ready for a story about Godzilla trying to keep himself on the top of the food chain? Yeah?
Is this a fiction story?
Well, yes, considering Godzilla is fictional.
Yeah, but, like, is it just a whole story about Godzilla just eating a bunch of food?
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
Okay.
The story is called Godzilla, A Nice Day for a Monster Fight.
What?
Nice Day.
What
wedding?
What the? That's the worst title.
Again with the title slander.
The bad title.
All right, just stop and listen.
Thank God.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
In a far-off land, Godzilla roamed the earth, his footsteps causing earthquakes and his roar sending shivers down the spines of all who heard it. Ooh. This is like those audiobooks where you get sounds in the background.
Yeah, I'm making music.
You're a Foley artist.
Yeah.
All right. Godzilla was the king of the monsters, and he used his immense power and strength to stay that way. He had a thirst for destruction that knew no bounds. But Godzilla was not alone in this land of terror. No, not at all. There were many monsters in the land that wanted Godzilla's crown. As Godzilla went searching for food, he unknowingly stomped into Mothra's territory.
Da, da, da.
Mothra is a beautiful yet deadly moth-like creature who will stop at nothing to protect her territory from any who dare to invade it.
No.
Stepping over a large rolling hill, Godzilla's eyes lift with the realization that he had come into Mothra's home. Hungry for a fight, He approached with relentless determination, his massive body casting a shadow over the land. Mothra knew that she had to face him, so she took to the sky, her wings beating with great force as she flew towards Godzilla. Godzilla roared, his breath hot and fiery as he unleashed a torrent of flames at Mothra. She dodged and weaved, her wings creating a shield of wind to deflect the flames. She swooped towards Godzilla, her wings slicing through the air with deadly precision. But Godzilla was ready for her. He swung his massive tail, catching Mothra in the midair and hurling her to the ground with a sickening thud. Mothra lay there, crumpled and helpless, as Godzilla approached her with a deafening growl. She knew that she had to act fast, so she summoned all of her strength and launched herself at Godzilla, her wings flapping with her all her might. She smashed into him with a thundering crash, and the two monsters went tumbling through the air, locked in a deadly embrace. The battle raged on, with Mothra and Godzilla exchanging blows that sent shockwaves through the land. Buildings crumbled, trees exploded, and the very earth cracked beneath their feet. But Mothra was no match for Godzilla's sheer brute force, and as the battle wore on, she began to weaken. With the final burst of energy, Mothra thrust herself at Godzilla, her wings flapping furiously, but it was too late. Godzilla caught her in the midair and tore her wings off with a single devastating blow. When Mothra fell to the ground, writhing in agony, as she realized her fate was sealed.
What does agony mean?
Lots of pain. Godzilla rested a foot on Mothra's body and roared up to the sky. Godzilla remained the king of the monsters that day. But just as he leaned down to strike a killing blow on a writhing Mothra, a chorus of screeching filled the air. Looking over his shoulder, Godzilla saw none other than King Ghidorah flying down out of the sky, lightning shooting from each of its golden dragon heads. Godzilla turned, bracing his feet and tail on the war-torn earth. He powered up his atomic breath, ready to defend his crown again. But that is a story for another time. The end. What'd you think?
I loved it.
Did you love it?
Yeah.
All right, that is the end of that story, so the end. So, Killian, what did you think about Godzilla?
I don't know what to say. It was awesome.
He's awesome. Yeah. It's also kind of awesome because he sets up like a whole existence of these other giant monsters. I'm a little...
And he dances with SpongeBob all the time.
Yeah. I am a little bummed that Mothra did not win because I enjoy moths, but I understand.
Mothman.
All right. Well, that is the end of this episode. Thank you again to...
Maybe Mothman and Mothra are probably married.
Potentially. Thank you to Neil for suggesting this story. It was a fantastic one. Killian seemed to enjoy it. But other than that, do you have anything else you need to say?
Godzilla's awesome!
Godzilla's awesome.
Yeah!
Thank you for listening. I am Karina.
I'm Killian.
And until next time, remember...
The kaijus are watching.
Love it. The kaijus are watching. Thank you for listening to The Cryptid Catalog. This show is hosted by Karina and Killian Beamesturfer. Written, researched, and edited by Dylan Beamesturfer. And the music was created and performed by Will Shelton. Grown-ups, if you would like to help support the show, please take a second to finish out the episode and listen to some ads.